when you come to that. 18a.
Because you know very well how we work through the 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. And it just happened that this was the one that was left for me this week in connection with that rotation. And this is the chapter that God used in a special way in my own heart in drawing me to Himself. From the deck of that aircraft carrier out in the South Pacific, where I could see how the spacious heavens declare the glory of our God. 19a, you want to look in the book there for a minute. The firmament displays His handiwork abroad. Day unto day doth utter speech, and night to night doth knowledge teach. You look down through there, it's a sort of an antiphonal song where the day speaks the positive, and then the night reflects the positive. And it's an antiphonal thing that's going on. The day speaks, and the night responds. And it's a beautiful thing that God is saying and is doing there. I'm interested in no corner of the earth where God is not heard from. The measuring line's gone out to the ends of the earth, and nothing can be hidden from thereof. The feature of the day is the sun, the source of light. The feature of the night is the moon, and they answer to each other back and forth that way. Then suddenly He changes, beginning there in 19b. And I'd like us to read that. Let's read it in unison, beginning in stanza 5. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. The precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. The Lord's command is pure, enlightening the eyes. Jehovah's fear is clean, more lasting than the skies. The judgments of the Lord express His truth and perfect righteousness. They're more to be desired than stores of finest gold, than honey from the comb, more sweetness far they hold. With warnings they thy servant guard, in keeping them is great reward. Now we'll get to the others a little bit later on. Any Hebrew boy or girl would have known immediately that there was a big change. In the first part, he's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, and how God tells us about Himself in nature, as we learned last week in a very beautiful way. Then suddenly, he drops all that and begins talking about the law and the word and the statutes and the judgments. But any Hebrew boy or girl would have noticed that the word for God in that whole first part was Elohim, God Creator. The word for God beginning in 19b is Jehovah, the God who turned and spoke to those whom He had created. And it is God telling us about Himself. And it's the term of endearment. God not just showing us about Himself, but now God is telling us about Himself and about us as He sees us. That's what that whole section is about from beginning there in 19b. You notice it begins, Jehovah's perfect law. Well, up to that point, they used the word Elohim, God Creator. Now it's Jehovah. And it isn't so hard to figure out the connection between these two. You look at the skies, and that was a beautiful night last night, and a beautiful sun today. God says, hey, I want to get your attention. Now that I've gotten your attention, and you see what I've done, now listen to what I have to say to you. And He lists six features of God's will. First, thing he mentions there in that first phrase in stanza 5 and 19b is Jehovah's perfect law. It's a law that's perfect, so perfect that it can convert your soul. There isn't anything else that can convert your soul. Only the Word of God can bring about the conversion. I think they use the word restores there, but it's a stronger word than that in Hebrew. Law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, is the way the King James reads. And only the Word of God is so perfect that it can bring about the conversion of a soul. And then the second word, His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. It's a testimony that doesn't keep changing. It's sure. There's an absolute standard in it. And that Dr. Moskowski that we were listening to on the tape there in Moscow was saying, I am a sociologist. And I say that there is no real basis for communication between parents and children for 75 years in Russia. Our absolute standards have been gone. They've been taken away from us. Well, that's what he's saying. The testimony of the Lord is sure. You can depend on it. It's an absolute standard. Parents have a basis for talking to children. Children have a basis for talking to parents. They can be honest for one thing. They shall not lie. It's just an absolute standard. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And then it's a precept. The precepts of the Lord are right. See where that one is down there in verse 8 in the first stanza. The precepts of the Lord are right. It gives man a backbone. It makes a man out of a boy. It's a thing that comes directly to God, to the individual person. It makes him conscious of marching with a relentless step. It's the precept of God. And there is a framework. Someone's calling cadence. It's God that's calling this cadence. And any of you who've ever been in the service know what it means to get out of step. Well, when God calls the cadence, that's what the word precept means. And then the fourth word is the commands. The commands that lead us to think accurately and help us to understand people. When a command is given, you can see whether or not a person's listening and whether or not they're obeying. And God makes it clear. And not only for ourselves, but for other people. And this is a basis then. The commands of God are a basis not only for understanding ourselves and religion, but understanding other people around us. And how important that is in your sales work. It's going to be important, Ray, that you would understand people and why they do what they do and what's going on. Well, if you can evaluate them in terms of their response to the commands of God, then that helps to understand people. As we go back to the master image, man made in God's image, go back to the master image, then that helps us to understand whether man's a phony or genuine. And it produces fear. That's the fifth word that he uses there. The right kind of a fear of God. A respect. A love, a confidence, and a respect. And it's a series of judgments. That's the sixth word. Or decisions that are true and righteous altogether. Now, that's the revealed word of God, the purpose for living. It gives a purpose for living. It gives us the wisdom of an absolute standard of right and wrong. It gives us the power of decision and joy in that decision. It gives us an understanding of other people and maturity. It gives us the right kind of a respect for God, a fear of God in the sense of respect and love. It gives us a confidence in God's future. Now, all those are more valuable than $1 million or many, many millions of dollars, more valuable than any gold, and sweeter than any honey. Outwardly, most valuable thing. Inwardly, most good for us. Warn us when we do wrong. Reward us when we do right. It not only tells us, though, what God wants, it also tells us what we're like. And that's important. You know the old quip. If that man could sell himself, could buy himself for what everybody else thinks of him and then sell himself for what he thinks of himself, he'd be making a real profit. Well, that's the value of God's word. It tells it like it is. And this man who's writing this chapter first saw God in nature, and then he looked at God's will and what God said, and then finally he looks in at himself. He looks in at himself. He says, God, protect me from my hidden sins. That's the one nobody else knows about. You know about them, but nobody else does. And then from those presumptuous sins, the things I knew God didn't want me to do, I went ahead and did it anyway. These things could dominate my life, he says. And then he ends it up in a prayer there in stanza 9 on that page. Let all the words I speak and all the thoughts within. Ooh, what a dangerous thing. If we could put your thought life for the last year right up here on a big screen. I mean your thought life, all your thought life for the whole year. If we could put that up here on a screen in Technicolor for everyone to see, it'd just be a case of which one of us is going to leave first. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, God, I know I can't hide it from you. Let all the words I speak and all the thoughts within come up before thy sight and thine approval. What do you want? When? Is this what you want? O thou Jehovah unto me, my rock and my redeemer be. Let's rise to sing the five stanzas, 5 through 9, 4 stanzas, 19b. 19b.